gospel, and in particular with foreign missions, there's a lot of different aspects of foreign mission work, okay? And not only are there a lot of different places to go, literally all over the world, okay, but there are a lot of different ways to be involved in foreign mission work. Did you guys talk at all about some of that, Jerry? Did you guys talk?
We finished this class. We're in another book. We're in less than a meeting.
Did Jerry sleep through the whole class last week as he was teaching, or? Just what I was wanting to try to find out is how much of that whole aspect of personally being involved in mission work did you guys talk about last week?
We touched on it. We didn't get into the depth that you are probably going to get into.
Okay. All right. Okay. So here's the thing. When we look at this idea of sharing the gospel and we talk about foreign missions, okay, what really are foreign missions? Let's talk about that for just a moment first.
In the area that we're not closely familiar with.
All right.
It could be Petersburg. It could be Glen Heights. It could be the world.
Yeah, I mean, think about it this way. Remember in the very beginning of our study that we were talking about, we began where? Anybody recall? Where did our study first begin and where our focus was? Our Jerusalem. Remember that Jesus told his disciples that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, right? And so, the gospel started in that central point and then, went out from there. So we take that concept, and as we were beginning this study, looking at that concept, saying, where I am is my Jerusalem, okay? So it's my family, it's my community, it's my friends, it's my coworkers, that's my Jerusalem, and that's where I begin, okay? And then from there, we want to go out. So really, if you think about it in those terms, and the reason we were doing that is trying to make this whole thing personal. You see, it's real easy to talk about spreading the gospel when you're talking about somebody else doing it, isn't it? We can sit and talk about Colonel and Kelly going to China all day long, you see, and isn't it great that they're wanting to do that again, you see? But let's talk about it personally, okay? And then also let's talk about it realistically, okay? And what I mean by that is, on one hand we could say, yeah, wouldn't it be great if all of us could pack up and go to China and do mission work in China for a year, but how practical is that? You see? How realistic is that kind of an expectation? You see, that all of us are going to be able to pack up and go to China or go to Ukraine or go, to Panama or wherever, the work it needs to be done. That's not really that practical, okay? But how practical is it for us to be able to step even outside of our Jerusalem into Judea, you see, and maybe even into Samaria? Now, are you following me here, you see? So when we're thinking about foreign missions, there's an aspect of it that, yes, there's work in China, there's work in Ukraine, there's work in Panama, there's work in Germany, there's work all over the world, okay? But there's also work in Petersburg, which is our Jerusalem, okay? But there's also work, I remember when I was at OVC back then, okay? Their work was primarily focused on preparing, in terms of the Bible department back then, was in terms of preparing preachers to preach in the north and the northeast of the country. They weren't concerned about the south. They got enough preachers down there, you say. They wanted to try to provide folks, to preach in the north and the northeast of America, you see. They weren't really happy the fact that I came back to Virginia, because, you know, everybody knows Virginia's not part of the Northeast, right? It's part of the South. Y'all do. Some, I know we got some Yankees in here that don't understand that, but, you know. but you know, so what happens is people have these different, you know, regions or these different ideas of, you know, where mission work needs to be. And I think, you know, all of those are legitimate needs, aren't they? You say, the gospel needs to be taught everywhere. Okay? Thank you. I'm glad people, you know, we agree with that. The gospel still needs to be taught everywhere. Okay? Including right here in America, including right here in Dinwiddie County. You see? But again, the emphasis is, to make this personal, we have to start in our Jerusalem, and then from there we've got to start stepping out. And it may only be to Judea. You see? Maybe we're only ready, you know, maybe you or you or you is only ready to go to Judea right now. You see? Where maybe someone else is ready, like Colonel Kelly, to go to the ends of the earth. You see? It depends on where you are, and it also depends, and I think it primarily depends on what doors God opens for you. You see, where is it that He is going to be sending you? So I want you to be thinking of it in terms of that as we look at this whole concept of foreign missions and me, okay? You know, be thinking about it in those kinds of terms, okay? Not just in terms of the place, or places, or what have you, but then also looking at it from the perspective that says, okay, what specifically can I, you, do, okay? What can each of us individually, what can you do personally in terms of the mission work? Okay? Let's talk about for a minute. We're going to talk a whole lot about Colonel and Kelly here this morning, because we just had a meeting with them. The elders just had a meeting with them this morning about their work, and there's some things I'm going to share with you this morning that's going to go counterproductive to some of their thinking about mission work. Okay? But what we have to do is we're looking at this and going, okay, what can I do? And maybe it's participating in their work. We've got to look at that and say, okay, how can I participate in their work? What are the options that are there? You see, do I have to necessarily go to China to participate in their work? You see, or are there other things that can be done? And that's part of what we're going to be looking at in this whole lesson. You see, when we're talking about foreign missions, okay, what's really involved in all of that? Okay, so that's where we're going to go. Look at on the inside page there, explain it and express it. The first page, or the first question there, what can I do? This particular section is talking about support. Okay? So we're looking at supporting the work of God. All right? The first question on here, Romans 10, verse 15. Who's got that? What is the admonition that Paul gives here? The question here, why is support for missionaries needed? What does he say there? How can they preach unless they are sent? Okay? So there has to be some sending being done, doesn't there? All right? And we're going to talk here in just a moment about this word send. We get down a little bit further here. But we start out with this whole idea of realizing that, you know, there are people that need to go to different places and do the work, but they need to be sent to do that. Okay? So there is an issue of sending someone to do the work. Are we going to send Colonel and Kelly to China to do the work? What does that really mean? To send them. That's part of what we want to look at. Look at the, let's talk about, and this is part of what you guys need to look at. Okay, as we were talking about in the meeting here, I didn't say anything in there because I knew we were going to talk about it in here. Okay, the Bible ordains that those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. All right, what does that mean? Take care of them how? Support them how? Let's get down to brass tacks. Let's talk about it.
Pray.
Do what?
Pray for them.
All right.
Encourage them.
Okay.
And feed them.
Let's talk about the feeding. Praying and encouragement, that comes later on. But specifically, we're looking at here what? We're talking about support. What are we talking about, Jerry?
Monetary help.
See? So you guys are looking at this, and you said in the meeting in there, if we could do this all on our own, then we wouldn't ask anybody to help us. Wrong concept. Okay? I want you to understand that. Okay? Because according to God's Word, which is what we're going by, right? See? God expects us to take care of those who are doing that work. Look at these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. Somebody go there. Somebody else go to Galatians 6, and verse 6. Who's got 1 Corinthians 9, 14? Who's going to get that for us? Wait a minute. Don't start yet. But you're going to read that one. Galatians 6 and verse 6. Who's going to read that one? Okay, Colonel? Let me get somebody to go to Philippians 4, verses 14 through 19. Who's got that? Okay, Beverly. All right, Betty, go ahead. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. Okay. Those who proclaim the gospel should get their living from the gospel. Okay. Galatians 6 and verse 6. What does that mean? Do what? Yeah. It's not referring to, the teacher just shared some good news with me, and so I need to share some good news with him. Say, no, it's talking about a livelihood. Okay? Beverly, Philippians 4, 14 through 19.
Shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessity.
Okay. So what's taking place here? What's the message that we need to come away from this part with?
We as followers are supposed to support those that are out front for us.
Okay. All right. No, let's go back to the old law for a minute. The line of Judah, who were the priestly line, right? Levites. I'm sorry. The Levites were the priestly line, right? Okay. I don't know why I said Judah. That's anyway. How were they supported?
They had no land holdings.
Right.
They were dispersed among the other tribes.
Okay.
No physical map where you'd say that's where the Levites were.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they basically got what they got from the offerings that were brought by the people.
Exactly.
And really, some unusual stories. I remember one, I can't remember what the particular offering was, but you were supposed to bring an offering of a lamb, and they put the meat into the pot, and they had this three-pronged fork, and they stuck it in, and whatever came out,
was
the
priest
share.
The
Levites and the priest share.
Right.
And what was left was for God.
They didn't work, the fields. They didn't, raise sheep or goats or what have you. They made their livelihood. In other words, their families were provided for by the contributions of the people. Okay? All right. How about, where do I get my income from? All of you should be going, from me.
From the bounty that God gives us.
You see? Every week I go over to the pot and I stick that big fork in the pot. And you know, yeah, I don't know if you ever heard the story of the preacher who took the collection basket. You know, after the collection was made, he took the collection basket, and what he would do is his idea, he's going to throw it up in the air, and whatever God wanted to keep was his, was God's, and whatever came back down belonged to the preacher. So, I'm not sure if that's the right way to go about it or not, you see. But you know, this principle is clearly established, is it not? That those who preach the gospel should make their living from the gospel. See? You know, Paul says, you know, don't muzzle the ox while he's doing what? Treading out the grain. What's that mean? I know some people would like to muzzle the preacher at times, right? But what does that mean? Don't muzzle the ox while he's treading out the grain. Why would they muzzle the ox? To keep them from eating the grain that he's treading out, right? And he's saying, don't do that. The ox deserves to be able to eat some of that grain that he's working to, you know, to tread, okay? Colonel Kelly, one of y'all had your hand up? That's what it says, isn't it? I mean, if we're going to do what the Bible says, then, you know, that's what we should be doing. Now, you know, that does not take away obligation. And the message is not, oh, okay, well, then we don't have to raise any money. We can just sit back and do nothing. You know, I think Paul set a good example and said, hey, you know, he could have taken it, you know, the support from him, but he chose to continue working as much as he could, is that because he didn't want to put that burden on folks and so forth. You know, I have over the years of ministry done various different works and so forth in places I've been that couldn't afford to pay me, you know, a decent salary, and so I work, you know, doing other jobs, you know, to be able to make up the difference. There's nothing wrong with that, you see. As long as we understand what it, you know, what the situation is and the need and so forth. One church that I went and began working with was a very small church when I started there, and the understanding was, hey, we can't pay you a full-time salary right now, but as you know, the church grows and we get, you know, we're going to pay you more, and so I went there with that understanding that I needed to have another job, and did that. God provided me a really great opportunity to work with the sheriff's department. You know, I did that, you know, part time and church part time, and you know, everything was great. I got to do something I really loved doing. Both things I really loved doing: preaching and police work. So if somebody didn't come to church, I could just arrest them. No, not really. but here's the thing. You know, what are we getting from this, in terms of the church's responsibility for taking care of financially those who are serving at preaching the gospel?
Well, that's a privilege. It is how we participate in the mission work, those of us that can't leave.
Right.
Okay, that's the avenue. Don't ever take that away from us. Even exactly. If you win the lottery. Okay. Let me help you.
Because it really does. It gives other people the opportunity to be involved in that work. You see? Because not everybody, as we said, not everybody can go to China. Not everybody can go to Ukraine or wherever, but people can be able to help. They can participate in that ministry by financially supporting you, first and foremost. Okay? Then there's other ways of support, Chuck, you brought up. We're going to talk about those a little bit later on in the study here. You know, with the prayer and the encouragement and so forth that we need to be doing also. It's not all financial. There's other things that need to be provided and so forth. And so we've got to consider the whole package here. Okay? Chuck, could I impose on you to get me a cup of water, please? I didn't bring my bottle of water in with me. My throat's getting going on me here. Okay. 3 John 5 through 8. Let me get somebody to go there and read that for us. 3 John 5 through 8. Who's got it? Okay, Steve?
Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth.
Okay. Here's a couple of important words and statements that we find in John's letter to his friend Gaius. Okay, Gaius is doing a good work in the church there. And what is that work involving, apparently, primarily? Support? What kind of support? Okay. Hospitality of who? Okay. Primarily, it appears to be a situation where you've got preachers, people who are sharing the gospel that are traveling around to different places, and they're coming through and they're finding support. They're being able to find the hospitality. Hey, you know, they don't, you know, you come and stay at my house. You know, we'll feed you while you're here. We'll take care of you. You know, so you don't have to worry about those things, so you can preach the gospel. Okay? So, Gaius is, he's being commended among the churches for, first of all, for what? Well, before that,
for his love.
Okay? Well, here's a question, comes from, well, not just from the movie, but, you know, I don't know what the movie was about, I just know the title. What's love got to do with it? Okay? What's love got to do with this, Jerry? He's commended for his love. What's love got to do with this mission work and what he's doing here?
God is love.
Okay.
His love, he's showing love for his people and what he's doing, and he's been showing it by doing what he's been taught.
Okay.
If he understands what is being taught to him, he realizes this is what God wants him to do.
Okay. And he's taking that love that comes from God, and what is he doing with it? He's transferring it and sharing it with other people, namely these missionaries, these people that are coming through, they're spreading the gospel and so forth. Love has everything to do with it first and foremost, because it's got to be the foundation of what we're doing. Because if we're not doing it out of love, then we'll not even do it. Okay? I think that's one of the main reasons that John mentions here, you know, this seemingly insignificant little part of this. You know, hey, you know, everyone's hearing about your love, you know. Okay, big deal. Well, it is a big deal. You see? Right?
One of the problems they had, Gaius was being commended for his love and his concern for others, but undoubtedly he was somebody who he wanted to act like the church was
right.
Mm-hmm. He didn't want to be hospitable at all.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to be mentioned that Gaius' name was mentioned for something positive.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the opposite was not.
Yeah. And John shows that big contrast between the two of them, doesn't he? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. So first of all, his love is being told about throughout the churches and what he's doing, okay? What then, the second one here, what good thing was Gaius encouraged to do? Okay. But he's very specific, though, isn't he, about what he says to do here? Send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. What does that mean, a manner worthy of God? Okay.
Support them on while they continue on until they get to the next
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Are you finished?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say another. Kelly, go ahead. Okay. Okay. Really, basically, what it's referring to is in a way that is going to bring glory to God. Okay? In a manner worthy of God. In other words, you know, is God going to be glorified by what you're doing here? You see, and how you are treating these folks. Is God going to be glorified through that action? That's something that is worthy of Him. Colonel?
It's not a coincidence that what we're seeing in 3 John, or John's words to Gaius, are very closely related to what we see in 1 John, where John is saying, if you love God, you're going to love the children.
Right.
If you hate your brother, then you also hate God. Right. So, it's all or nothing. You love God and all His children, or you don't love God and you don't love His children. It's like you call yourself a Christian and follow God. And that's just something that goes along with
it. Oh, absolutely. And love is one of John's primary themes, as we talked about in our study that we did on John a while back. You know, that we see that because love speaks of what primarily. Anybody recall? What does it speak of? A relationship with God. See? And that's why John says what he says. If you love God, then you love, you know, one another. If you don't, then you're not going to love one another. See? If you hate your brother, then you don't love God. See? Because why? Because God is love. See? God is the source of love. Okay? Now, so, you know, there's this love element that's got to be involved in this, okay? That also, by the way, you know, I won't charge any extra for this morning, okay? That also, by the way, that love element, it provides the emotional connection that is so valuable, okay, in the relationship that is established between them. In other words, I could be giving support financially, but if I don't really love you, all I'm doing is putting the money in there, and there's no love involved in it, I don't have an emotional investment in that person or what have you, you see, you understand what's missing there, you see? And doesn't that then taint the whole process?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be any different if there wasn't some emotional connection to the person that's receiving.
Absolutely. And that's why, by the way, that Jesus, you know, when he's talking about the widow's mite, and he talks about all those wealthy people who are giving, how does he say, they're giving out of their wealth or their abundance, you say, they weren't really missing it. There was no emotional investment in that for them. But that widow who gave, how much did she give?
Last she had.
Everything she had to live on, Jesus said. Did she have an emotional investment in that giving? Absolutely. See? So it's not the dollar amount. It's not whether someone gives $100 or $50 or $20, what have you. It's the emotional investment that comes from the love that they have involved in that, okay? So we have that aspect, that element of it is the love involved in it. Then we have the methodology that is of sending someone out in a manner worthy of the Lord. So as they continue on their work, you say, are they not only feeling the love, but are they being taken care of in a manner that glorifies God? Say, all right, I'm going to take just a moment here, and I know you folks won't mind me doing this, but I'm going to take just a moment to brag on you, okay? Because, you know, again, we're not talking about just, you know, foreign missions. We're talking about those who preach the gospel, okay? And I can honestly say, and I believe I feel pretty confident that Cindy will agree with me on this, as we've talked about it many times. You know, the various places that we have been in ministry and churches that we work for, we've never had a congregation that treated us the way that you folks do, in terms of love and care and support and you know, again, it's not just the financial aspect of it. It's, you know, regularly, and, you know, I'm constantly having people say to me, call me on the phone, and it is valuable. And you may not realize how valuable it is, Christine, when you call me, you know, on Tuesday or Wednesday and say, hey, Russ, I just want to let you know that lesson you did was it really hit me. It really touched me. I have people do that all the time, you see. And people that are always, they're constantly encouraging me in the work that I do here. And I've never had that before, anywhere near the extent that I have it here, you see. And so what I'm telling you is, I feel the love, okay? I feel the love. I really genuinely do, you see. And that is a you know, again, a vitally important aspect of what people like me do. Okay? I have been on the other side of all that too, where I haven't felt the love at all, and that's not fun. Okay? And then, you know, also the whole aspect of you know, I look at the work that I do here is that, again, the practicality of it. Can everybody in this congregation do what I do? Now, I'm not talking about the ability to get up and speak. I'm talking about, you know, to be able to be a preacher and do all the stuff that's involved in being a minister of a church. Not everybody can do that. You've got other things that need to be done, don't you? You see? But you, in that sense, and we're going to talk about this word here in just a moment, you send me out to do my job, to do what I do, you send me out in a manner worthy of the Lord. And I thank you for that. I commend you for that. So let's talk about this idea of sending. We've got a few more minutes here. What do you think the phrase bring forward in the King James Version, send forward in the American Standard Version, and send in the NIV Version, what does that word or that phrase mean? Okay. All right. Well, what does that mean in terms of the way he's using this word? The way that it's used oftentimes in the New Testament, what's that word mean? To send. We typically, you know, I'm going to send you to go to the store, you know, to get something for me. Does it mean that, or does it mean something more?
It implies that there are responsibilities and expectations. You even using that example, if I send you to the store, you know, I'm giving you what is necessary to get the things that I require from the store.
Okay.
And so you should go ahead and do that and come back directly.
Okay.
You know, and at the same time, the person that you send has some requirements from you, such as, well, what do you want me to do with this money, and what store do you want me to go to, and when I get there, what exactly do you need?
And if you're sending me to the store, or I'm sending you to the store, what do I need to give you? Okay. See, there are two words in the Greek language that are translated send. Okay? The first word is apostello. I think that's how you pronounce it. That word basically means to send on service or with a commission. In other words, you have been commissioned to do this particular work. Okay? The other word, which is the word that is used here and in several other places, the other word basically means to send forth, carries the sense of sending with the necessary materials, okay, i.e. financial support. That's the word that is used here. So it's not just the idea of you've been commissioned or sent to do a particular job, but rather it is that yes, I'm sending you, but not only am I sending you, but I'm making sure that you have the means to do what it is that you've been sent to do. So if I'm sending you to the store, not only am I going to give you a list of the stuff I need you to get, but I'm going to give you the money that you need to buy it with. You say, I'm not going to expect you. I'm going to say, hey, I need these things. Would you go to the store and get them for me? I don't have any money. I need you to pay for them. You say, it's the same thing here. I'm sending you to China, okay? But I need to make sure that you have the means to do what you need to do there. You say, wherever I'm sending. And that's what John is talking to Gaius about here. Send them out in a manner worthy of God. Okay? When you send them, that sending involves making sure that they have the materials or the means to which to carry out the work that you're sending them to do. Okay? And so that's an important word in this statement that John is given to him here. Okay? So we have to be careful. We don't just send people. And that's one of the things that I was talking with you about a couple of weeks ago when you first approached me about, you know, this whole idea of sponsoring your work. You see, there's a whole lot more to it than just simply taking care of a checkbook or something of that nature, but it's being involved emotionally with that work and having that love aspect of it. It's the idea of making sure that we, as we are sending people, that we're sending them in a manner that is worthy of God, and that manner includes making sure that when you get to where you're going, you're going to have to worry so much about your finances, you're not going to be able to do what you need to do. You see? And that shouldn't be, is what John is telling Gaius here. I had a couple of hands up. I don't remember where they all were. I just saw this one.
Well, I guess this carries with it, and I don't know if it comes out in the Greek, but verse 8 here in 3 John, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. It carries with it the idea of emissary. You know, not only are Colonel Kelly going, but
exactly,
you know, we're going with them in a sense. You know, they're God's representatives, but they're also ours. You
exactly.
You can't physically come, but we're going to give you the tools and the support you need to go do for us, if I can use that phrase, you know, what we physically or for some other reason are prohibited from doing.
Right. Well, and if you go down and you look at that, the next question on our study guide here, to whom was this assignment of supporting given? Who was that given to? To the churches, okay? And so exactly what you're saying, Steve, is right, is that the concept that John wants Gaius to understand, he wants us to understand, is that this becomes then, if I have this emotional involvement in this work, then also what other involvement do I have in it? I've got a spiritual, but I've also got a physical involvement, and not just my money, but it's not just you who are doing the work, but it's we-ins, okay? All right? It's we-ins and me-ins and you-ins and us-ins and all of those, okay? It's not just the person that's going that's doing God's work. It's involved, God's work is involving all of those who are supporting that work. So the work becomes our work, you see. And we really need to see it that way, you see, in what we're doing. This church is not my church. This is not my work. It's not it's not simply my ministry here. This is your work, you see. It is all of our work collectively. We just have different things that we do in accomplishing this work. You see, we have elders, we have deacons, we have Bible class teachers, we have grinners. You see, y'all know what grinners are, don't you?
People that smile at you when you're preaching, make you feel like...
Well, that would be good too. You know, we do have some of those. Okay, some of them that are hysterically laughing at some of the things I say. You know, it's nuts. No, but grinners are the people that bring visitors with them, and they sit there and grin. You see, because they brought somebody. All right, you see.
Yeah.
So the point is that everybody has jobs to do, everybody has work, and we're all involved in that ministry together. And that's what John is wanting Gaius to understand. whatever your part is. And it may be that you're part of a particular prayer ministry for this aspect of the work here, you see. And it may be that you're, you know, providing food for people that, you know, need food. Or maybe you're sending out cards to people. Whatever it is, it's our work, you see. It's not just my work. Okay, right?
One of the things I'll be quick about it is...
Whew, great, we're running out of time.
Yeah, and say that the work that they're doing is great. But because of the age that we live in with the emails and all of this stuff, we didn't have 2,000 years ago.
Right.
The communication is much better. Mm-hmm. Even though there is channels.
Right.
It's still a lot better than it would have been 100 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
So, absolutely. But that's the thing. That's the age that we live in.
There's a lot of things that are available to us now to be involved more in that work and different ways to do it and to support and, you know, to give this support that needs to be done. But the main point that I want you to go away from this morning is understanding that, first of all, we need to have an emotional investment in the work that we are doing, whether it's in our Jerusalem or whether it's in Judea, Samaria, or whether it's to the ends of the earth. We need to have that emotional love investment involved in it, okay? And then, you know, the second part of this is, you know, as we're doing this work, we're involved in this work that we're doing here, we need to make sure that we're doing it in a manner that glorifies God, okay? And then third and finally, we need to make sure that we're understanding that it is all of our work. It's not one person's work or a couple's work or the preacher's work. It's everybody's work, that we're all involved in this work together. Okay. So keep those three things in mind as we continue looking at this aspect of it, is our involvement in foreign mission work, okay? And then we're going to be looking at some other aspects of that and how we specifically can be involved in foreign mission work and doing mission work, okay? Thank you all very much.